9, Lord Jesus was in our midst. In January 86, when he appeared to me, he said that from time to time he will manifest in the meetings. And tonight is one of those nights. And I don't know whether you saw him, but I saw him. And he was in our midst. And when Jesus is in our midst, I realized that many of you came for the teaching. But to meet Jesus Christ and have a personal encounter with him is worth 10 million words. Like King David said, a day in the house of God is better than 10,000 days. And even though we have taken much time to worship him and given him the honor and glory and worship that he deserves as he manifests in our midst, yet there's something that has taken place in our spirits and in our heart. It's life changing on the inside. Something has been deposited in our hearts and in our lives tonight. And this year is a significant year for many of you and for the body of Christ. And it's something taking place on the inside of each one of us. And tonight, I do know in my spirit that something that has been deposited, something tangible has been deposited into our hearts, into our spirits tonight. And you're going to see the fruit of what God deposited in your spirit in the days and in the weeks and months to come. You're going to see the results of the encounter that you have as you wept before the Lord and as you pour your heart out before God. That is something worth more than gold. Experience with the Lord. And we're going to go to God in prayer as you consider His Word, but we're also going to pray for each one of you whom God has deposited a measure of His grace into your hearts tonight. Let's pray. Father, we praise You and we thank You for what You have done in our hearts and in our lives tonight. Father, we do not know the fullness of what You have done in our spirits and in our souls. But we do know, Lord, something has happened on the inside. Something has changed on the inside. We ask, O God, that that which You have deposited in our spirits and in our hearts tonight will come forth in the coming weeks and months, and it will flow forth from our spirits to bless other lives. We ask, O God, that You transform the surroundings, the circumstances of each life, and You cause a divine river to flow through each heart and each life, so that they would know, O God, that they have been launched into a different phase. They have been launched into a different dimension of that which You have called them to do and to be. So seal Your work in each heart and in each life tonight. And Father, we request You tonight that You enlighten the eyes of our understanding. That You grant us, O God, a clarity in understanding Your divine word. Cause us, O God, to be established in Your word. Cause us, O God, never to stray away from this word of Yours. Cause, O God, that we will flow forth, be established, grounded, rooted, and that we would know the full dimension of this word and open all the jewels, the things that are hidden in this word to our hearts and to our lives, that we may be able to be nourished and fed upon Your bread of life. Let the power of Your blood be upon our spirits, our souls and our bodies tonight, so that we could glorify You in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Father, unveil Your word to us. And we thank you for the healings that you have performed even while in your presence. We thank you, Father God, for the miracles in our spirit, the miracles in our souls, and the miracles in our physical bodies that you have bestowed on us tonight. We give you all the glory and all the worship and all the honor for what you have done. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we are on the book of Ecclesiastes. And if you have read this book, at first it looks like a very, very pessimistic and very, very sorrowful and dull book. But Ecclesiastes is an account of a man who finally returns to God. A man who once upon a time knew God, and that man is none other than King Solomon. He knew God, and God blessed him, but somewhere in his middle age, he strayed away from God, and now, in his old age, he looked back at his life and he wrote this book to tell us all his pursuits in life. There are six areas that he pursued in and they are still true today of men who do not know God. Although King Solomon knew God, yet at a certain point, he left God and he went on his own. God was to him just a creator, no more Jehovah or Yahweh. There are a few names of God that the Hebrews use in reference to God. One is Adonai, which means Lord. The other is Jehovah or Yahweh, which is a covenant name for God. The name Jehovah or Yahweh is a special revelation of God to a covenant people. Then the other general name for God as creator is the name Elohim. Surprisingly, in this book, a man who once knew God as Jehovah or Yahweh, there are two ways of pronouncing that Hebrew name, Yahweh. So some say it's Yahweh, some Jehovah. And both are from the same Hebrew words. The name Jehovah, whom he once knew, Yahweh God, he has backslided, and now all he knows, as he slowly returns to God, all he knows is Elohim, the God who created the heavens and the earth. In this book, when you read it, it looks like the word vanity is a very popular phrase. Vanity and vanity of vanities, you get it hit every chapter. After every few chapters, it says, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, everything is vain, there's no purpose in life. And a lot of 80s like this book. That's the only time the 80s read the Bible. Book of Ecclesiastes. It seems that Voltaire, who is an atheist in the French Revolution time, used portions of this book. But what these people do is they take it out of context. They only take the verses they like, without realizing that those verses are written by King Solomon to show his exasperation and the emptiness that he felt when he didn't have God as Yahweh in his life. And God was a far away Elohim to him. The book of Ecclesiastes lists six major pursuits of King Solomon, and all of them came to the same conclusion. See, there are six possible things that people live for. If you either do not know God, or not interested in God, or didn't believe in God, or God is somebody far away, there are six motivations that a person has in life.
First of all, a person can seek after philosophy. In the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 1, verse 13, "And I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This grievous task God has given to the sons of men, by which they may be exercised." So Solomon, King Solomon, who has strayed away like a stray lamb from Yahweh God, and God is now a distant Elohim, begins to look for fulfillment in philosophy and in wisdom, human wisdom. And he searched and searched into human wisdom, and he was one of the wisest, if not the wisest man during his generation. He came to a conclusion. In this book, here is a man who has really searched for the truth. He had the truth once, and he didn't realize the blessings of the truth he had, strayed away from it, and tried to look for other avenues that satisfy him. If we read this book carefully, it tells us the vanity of those paths. It's just like somebody who has already known all the roads in a new city. And you're about to get in the car to drive, and there's so many intersections and turning, and then somebody comes to you and points out all the road and say, "Don't take that road, I've been right to the end. It takes about 40 minutes to reach to the end, but right at the end is a dead end street." Then he tells you, "There's another road on that side, I have been there too." And you say, "What is over there? It looks so nice here." And he said, no, don't go there. Right at the end, the road ends suddenly in a cliff. And then he points to another road and says, "Don't go over that side." So, why? What's wrong? Because halfway along the road are a lot of these bombs. "Look at my front tire, it's gone." You have a careful look, and yeah, it was gone. "How do you get back?" "I walk all the way back." "But what about the car?" "Oh, I managed to get it pushed back here just to show you." And here is King Solomon. He has been down the road in philosophy. He's been down the road in several places. So he took the road of philosophy all the way to the end and thought through everything possibly that was possible in his time. And he came to the conclusion in verse 16 and says, "I commune with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness, and I gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge, and I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly, and I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow." In other words, he says it's like grasping for the wind. It's all emptiness. Then he tried pleasure. And since he was one of the richest kings of his day, he tried pleasure. All kinds of pleasure in chapter 2 verse 1. He says, "I will test you with myrrh. Therefore enjoy pleasure." And all kinds of pleasure. In verse 4, he sought to do great works. He built himself houses, planted vineyards, made gardens, orchards, planted all kinds of fruit trees. Verse 6, "I make myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove and landscaping." And verse 7, "acquired male and female servants." And he had, in verse 8, he acquired male and female singers. He had all the singing and all the music and everything. But his conclusion in verse 11, again, this is also like grasping for wind. He found it's empty. The road of pleasure also feels empty. And then he points to something else. Like some people, they are not going for philosophy. Neither do they really go for pleasure. They become workaholics. They say, I just work for the now and live for the now. I don't care about all these ideas and idealistic concepts. I just, you know, work my hands out. And all they are is just working and working, like the end in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4. Again, I saw that for all toil and every skillful work, a man is envied by his neighbor. This also is vanity, grasping for the wind. Grasping for the wind. And